And we're going through our discipleship program. There is copies of the lessons over there if you want something to fill in blanks. If you're here and you haven't gotten a book yet, you're welcome to do it. What we're doing is we're going through a discipleship course, and we're doing it for a couple different reasons. We spent a lot of time explaining the reasons and the purpose behind it, but one of the main reasons is to be grounded ourselves, and also number two, to be able to teach others also. My hope and my goal is that after we learn and we grow from this program, that it will be something that we can go out and teach somebody else. These are resources you can take to your grandchildren, children, people that might say, well, I don't understand why you believe this certain way. I don't understand why you do these certain things. Why in the world do you think this way? Because it's foreign to some people. The reality is that some people do not understand the Bible and do not understand the Word of God. And without understanding these things, they think that we're crazy for some of the reasons why we believe. So what this is, a resource, and like I said, we have books that shows you all those resources. Hopefully you've been doing your devotions. Hopefully you've been learning your verse. This is a resource you can take with you. As you fill out the book, it's something you take with you, and you can teach other people. And also as a guide point to go back and learn and grow from. There's examples in here. There's scripture verses in here. If you have somebody who's questioning, oh, can you lose your salvation? Well, we learned about that a few weeks ago, what the Bible teaches. So it's really important key to keep this, follow along, keep up with it. And if you want to fill the blanks out ahead of time, you're welcome to, or if you want to as we go through it. But we just pretty much go over the lessons the same way that you would go over with a discipler or a disciplee. So right now you're the disciplee, and I'm the discipler, and we're going through this. Now normally you'll spend time interacting. There's the review questions that are there you go over. There's things that you explain to them so you develop a relationship. People are not going to listen to you until you really show that you care. So these are new Christians sometimes. Sometimes they're baby Christians. Sometimes they're people who have been saved for a long time but never truly been grounded. So two efforts here. Number one is to make sure that we're grounded in what the Bible says. Also, secondly, to teach us so we can teach somebody else. He said, Pastor, none of my friends is going to go through a 14-week lesson of this one. Just 1 week to help them explain and show them why this is important. And like I said, I think it's very well done. I think that many of you said that you've enjoyed it so far. So I pray that this lesson will be an enjoyment to you also. I sit to show you what it's kind of like, going to be like when you're talking across somebody to make it a little bit more personable. And let's go ahead and just begin with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, today we're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. What a great privilege and honor just to be able to open up your word. Lord, teach us to teach others also. Many times we are someone who takes in and takes in and takes in, but we never, ever disperse. We never, ever teach anyone else. Lord, give us a burden to not just be a Christian, but to be a Christian that is a biblical Christian, the idea that we're going to teach others also. Many of us have different points that we're strong on, and we like to teach certain little things or certain things we find from the scriptures, but help us to teach all those things that are found in the Word of God, the whole counsel of God. Help us to explain and teach the important things so those that are new Christians won't just have to follow along a suit, but instead understand from the scriptures. Help us understand even when it comes to our prayer life. Or without prayer, there's not going to be power in our lives. And Lord, we need power from you. We need understanding from you. Help us from this simple lesson to remind ourselves the importance of prayer and some wonderful truths in this idea of prayer so we can teach this to other people too. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 is our memory verse for the week. And if you notice in your bulletin, we always have a memory verse of the week, and we are corresponding it with our lessons, so that way you can have one verse that you're learning. And the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What a great passage of Scripture. He says, look, if you'll call unto me, I will answer thee. And that's amazing, because it's not just somebody else. It's, you know, God saying this. It's someone who's important that's saying this. Sometimes you say, hey, you missed my call, or something like that. You'll text, I've been trying to call. And sometimes somebody will respond, well, if you call me now, I will be able to answer. God doesn't put stipulations on it. He's there and he's available. the introduction of our lesson, there are not enough words to describe the wonder and privilege of prayer. Prayer is how we bring our needs to God. It is how we unburden our hearts before Him, and is one of the ways we strengthen our relationship with Him. And I think that one of the keys, if we're going to grow as Christians, we're going to need to develop a prayer life. If we do not develop a prayer life, we're never going to grow as a Christian, as a believer. Consider this. One old preacher put it this way: much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. Prayer is one of the earliest spiritual exercises you learn, and it is one that you will grow throughout your entire Christian life. In this lesson, we'll look at some of the basic truths regarding how to pray, what to pray for, and how to keep our prayer life strong. To many people in this room, your prayer life might be just second nature to you. But there is many people that have to work on this, especially as a new believer and Christian. When the newness wears off, there's a Holy Spirit of God that wants to develop that relationship. And the way you develop that relationship is through a consistent prayer life. Prayer is an invitation. You have your conversation starter down there. Have you ever been invited to a place or an event that you absolutely did not want to miss? What precautions did you take to be sure you would not miss it? What were you willing to say no to in order to be there? And that's an interesting thought. There are some things that are off the table. There are some things in this world we are not going to miss. And that's what he's saying, the importance of prayer. We should have that same type of attitude when it comes to our prayer life. Prayer is an invitation. For the child of God, prayer is an invitation to the very throne room of heaven. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 to 16, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So it's an invitation. Jesus Christ experienced the same things that we experience. And now he is inviting us. And he not only is he inviting us, he's telling us that we can come to a place boldly. And we can come into that throne of grace, and when we come to that throne of grace, we will find mercy. God invites us to bring our needs to him. He invites us to request to him in prayer. Sometimes people come up to me and they say things like, "I know you're busy, I don't want to bother you, but I have this request or I have this need." And sometimes it's easy to say, "Yeah, I am busy." And God's never going to say that to you. And it's important to help other people understand that God is not only telling us to pray, he wants us to pray. Next thing is make it simplistic. It's an invitation, but prayer is also talking to God. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. And I know sometimes people go through, and I think there's a reverence and a respect when it comes to praying. God gives us a sample prayer or a prayer that we can follow after, and we're going to look at those things. But at the same time, it is talking to God, just as we would talk to one another. Now, yes, of course, it's supposed to be done with respect. That's why I say, our Father, which art in heaven. We recognize the relationship. We recognize his authority. Hallowed be thy name. It is a time where it's somebody talking to that you have great admiration for, great respect for, but someone who loves us also. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Remind him this. He says, look, if you call me, I'm going to answer. But not only am I going to answer, I'm going to show you things in your life. I'm going to teach you things. I'm going to explain things to you through prayer. I'm going to explain as you open your heart up and willing to listen that I'm going to explain to you things. And these things are going to be things like great and mighty things, which you didn't understand before, the things you didn't know before, the things you have questions about. God wants to give you the answers. But that comes through a time of prayer, and that comes through a time of meditation, that comes through a time of listening to God. Next thing. Prayer is asking for our needs. Prayer is asking for our needs. And that's where most people have it, is just answering our needs. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet the heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So prayer, this is a portion of prayer. It is an invitation. It is talking to God. It is asking God for our needs. It's amazing how God cares for every need in our lives and invites us to bring them to him in prayer. I like the idea about the birds and the fowls. They never have to ask God, and God takes care of them. I mean, I know there's the chirping and things like that, but it's an understanding that we are a creation of God, and God has enabled us to be different and better than the animals but God's willing and able to take care of us. So on your next page, so you have your first blank is talking, your second blank is asking. On page 98, page 99, you got some verses that gets to reiterate these facts. 1 John 5:14, the Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him. We have a confidence in God. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." He's not shutting us off. If we ask things according to His will, according to His plans, He hears us. God cares about our troubles. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. God desires to grant our requests. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find it. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Our needs may be physical, they may be financial, they may be emotional, they may be spiritual. In any and every case, God wants us to bring our needs to Him in prayer. Over here at Conversation Starter, you know, share with one another an answer to prayer you have recently seen in your life. And these are things that we should be able to tell. I had a number of prayer requests concerning our missions conference, and God answered each and every single one of them. It was a blessing and it was a help. Share with one another a special answer to prayer. And some of them might seem little and they might seem contrite, but you're explaining to them that God cares about our needs and He's willing to hear them and He's willing to answer them according to His will. You know, at this point in time, you could talk to Him. God's not going to give us all our requests because we don't always ask things according to His will. Sometimes we ask things for fleshly reasons. Sometimes we ask things because we think we know what's best. But God helps us, but God is always interested in hearing from us. And as we wait on God and listen to God, He's going to show us those great and mighty things which we don't understand. Next thing, prayer is not just an invitation. Prayer is a command. So when you come to this, He's not just inviting you to pray. He's not just saying, hey, let's talk. It is actually a command of God. So when we explain this to an individual and explain to ourselves, if I don't pray, then I'm disobeying God. If I don't pray, I'm not listening to God. Like we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago before missions conference. Baptism is a form of obedience to God. Following, same thing with prayer. Prayer is command. God not only invites us to pray, He tells us to pray. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. There's a number of places in the Bible where it speaks about praying as a command. Think about what it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 2. It says, and He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. So your two blanks in that sentence is the word when, W-H-E-N, and the second word is if. In fact, He assumes that we're going to pray. Notice how Jesus instructed the disciples concerning prayer. He said, when ye pray, not if you pray. That portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus and said to Jesus, hey, teach us to pray. We want to know how to pray. And He doesn't say, if you pray, when you pray. This is how you're supposed to pray. And it's important to help them understand God is expecting us to pray. Next thing, and this idea that it's a command, is pray regularly. Pray regularly. The best way to develop a meaningful prayer life is to pray on a regular, daily basis. Psalms 5:3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. I have different times during the day that I specifically take aside for prayer. I need to do more. I understand that. Morning time is one of those times, and this gives credence to praying in the morning, getting your heart set, getting your heart straight. As soon as I wake up in the morning, many times my heart goes to the Lord and the things that are needful for that day, but I want to spend a few minutes with Him. And many times, even before I try to get up, when I wake up, I sit there and I ponder and pray and speak to the Lord. Not only does it say pray regularly in the Bible, prayer is not something we run to only in times of emergency. It is also to be a regular communication with God. You can tell Him it's normal and natural to pray to God when there is an emergency. We run to Him. It's normal. It's natural. When we have a need, we call upon Him. But if we want a regular prayer time, we have to set aside time so that way, as I talked about Daniel, when he went and prayed as he did aforetime, in the Bible when he was getting ready to get cast into the lion's den. It's important people understand that. Sometimes people use their prayer life as a scapegoat or a lucky rabbit's foot, but that's not the way God intended. pray regularly. Next blank is pray continually. Pray continually. And the first thing, when I first read through this, I was like, regularly? The Bible says pray without ceasing. Well, it's building the block. Sometimes people would not even understand, you know, am I supposed to pray regularly? But once you understand, help them understand, regularly becomes to a point where it's continually. Although having a regular established prayer time is important, we can and should pray at any time in any place. Pray without ceasing. Sometimes we would be considered rude if we were there and you took your wife or husband somewhere and you never talked to them. And you thought, or even a friend, you're there and you're taking a trip and you're going throughout the day and you just ignored them all day. You know, God is there with you. That's what the idea of praying continually and praying without ceasing. It means that we're continually having a conversation and talking to Him. Sometimes we do it out loud. Most times we do it to ourselves. When we're going through something, we speak to Him and say, Lord, give me leadership here. Give me direction. Give me wisdom. Lord, help me. That was a blessing. You know, many different things. Teach me how to do these things right. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's this idea of continual prayer. And this is important and key, that they understand that there should always be a time when we're talking and speaking to God. If we do this, then they're going to understand that God is there with us. He can be there as a help and guidance for us, but also there are certain things that we probably say we shouldn't say in front of God. There are certain things that we say, well, I shouldn't use that language, or I shouldn't be murmuring, I shouldn't be complaining, or I shouldn't be gossiping. If you keep this constant reminder that you're always speaking to God, it helps to remind the fact that your prayer life is that God is always with you. Next thing is pray with faith. Pray knowing that your Heavenly Father wants you to pray, hears your requests, and will do what is best for you. So you're explaining to them that God's inviting you to this wonderful relationship where you can communicate with Him. And it's something He wants us to do regularly. It's actually something He wants you to do continually. And He wants you to do it by faith. Pray knowing that your Heavenly Father wants you to pray, hears your requests, and will do what's best for you. Our theme verse for the year is Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if when we do these things, we come to God believing that God is able, and also believing that God wants to help us. Matthew 21:22. And all these things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So on page 100, your blanks are regularly, continually, and faith. Now sometimes when you're there, you're going to be able to watch and make sure that they're writing those things down. Me, I don't know if you get it or not, so and sometimes I don't even know if I'm saying it specifically, so that's why I go over it. But you won't have to do that with your disciple E. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Next thing that's important is pray with the right motives. Pray with the right motives. See, God wants us to bring our personal and family needs to Him, but asking for our needs is different than asking with selfish motives. This is important to help them understand, because the miscommunication when it comes to our prayer lives. So many times people have a different view of what prayer is. Prayer is just me asking God. Prayer is me trying to get my will done here on this earth. But prayer really is, as we call unto Him, and we call unto Him and He answers us, what does He do? He shows us great and mighty things which we know not, which we don't understand. He changes our heart to be His desires and His will. He changes us when our desires are right. So if we have the right motives, you know what's going to happen? Then you're going to be able to see Matthew 21:22 and say, you know what? God is answering my prayers. God wants us to bring our personal and family needs to Him, but it must be with the right motivation. Do we just want the relief taken away from us? Do we just want the burden taken away from us? Sometimes God lays burdens on us to just cause us to want to live for Him more and cause us to do more for Him. Look what it says in James 4:2-3. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now, our prayer lives, got to understand, we need to have the right motives. You know, sometimes we're praying for our children and grandchildren to be delivered from something. You know, God may be trying to teach them something. Many times our request is, God, if it's your will, take them out of this situation. God, teach them the things that they need to learn. Teach them the things that they need to know, because we know a right relationship with you is more important than ease and more important than comfort. That's a hard way to pray, but if we have the right motives, then we can trust God with our lives and with our family. Pray according to God's will. Pray according to God's will. God always answers our prayers, but his answers are not always yes. Like a good parent, sometimes our Heavenly Father knows that we may not be what we may want, may not be what's best for us. Thus, sometimes he does not give us what we ask for, or he does not give it to us right now. And this is, I know they don't have a conversation starter here, but I would say this is the time where you can reveal when we were asking God for something and it didn't turn out the way you thought it would. But now looking back upon it, we realize, you know what? This was best for me. And I can tell you lots of times. And then that case, I dated a girl when I was 18 years old, and I thought it was God's will that we got married. And I used to pray that way. I'm thankful God said no to that, and God gave me someone better. I'm thankful for that. And there's lots of different things. You know, God wanted, you know, we thought God maybe wanted us to move, or God wanted us to have another job, or God wanted something in our life. You look throughout the Bible, there is tons of people that had different opinions of what they thought was best or what should have been done. But God took them through a trial or a test or a burden. And in the end, it was God's will to do it another way. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So when we say, God, we'd like to see this done, but according to thy will, let it be done. Then God is answering our prayer, because he's letting it happen according to our will. Luke 18:1, "And he spake a parable unto them, this end, men ought to always pray and not faint." Next thing is, pray in Jesus' name. You hear when most people pray, they pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the first blank on this page in 101 was motives. Second blank was God's. Third blank is Jesus. Pray in Jesus' name. Pray in Jesus' name is praying by his will and authority. You're asking these things according to your relationship with him. You're asking these things because he's told us in John 14:13. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You know, when you pray, you're going to say, hey, you've been around these new disciples. You're going to say, you've been around people that have been praying. You've been here in church. At the end, they say, in Jesus' name, amen. Why they do that is here. Because we're praying for God's will, and we're asking things in God's name. Sometimes when people ask things fleshly or outside of God's will, no sense attaching Jesus' name to it, because we haven't thought that's what he wanted for our lives. Next thing, it tells us to pray with other Christians. It tells us to pray with other Christians. Your next blank is Christians. The early church prayed together. Prayer with other Christians has a way of strengthening our faith and our boldness. You go through Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. It talks about how it says Acts 1:14, and they all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were doing that as a group, as a corporate prayer time, with the women and Mary, with the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts 2:42, after the day of Pentecost, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They did it as a church family, but they also prayed privately. So you got pray with other Christians. Next blank is pray privately. In addition to corporate prayer, every Christian should daily have a time of private prayer. And it says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, the great teaching on prayer. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." A private prayer time. And, you know, they talk about a closet. People talk about having a prayer closet. And I think it's great when you have a little room that you can go to and pray. I have a back study in my office, and I really enjoy that room because I don't hear any noise, and usually when my door's shut, most people won't bother me. They know that I'm back there and I'm working and I'm praying and things like that. It's important to have a private place. Next thing, it says pray earnestly. Earnestly. So you're teaching these people how to pray. And they say, well, this is just basic stuff. Well, all those things we just read, is that something you're faithful doing? Because this is what's going to build a Christian's life. Do we pray according to God's will? Do we pray with the right motives? Do we pray privately? Do we pray as with other Christians? Pray earnestly is your next blank. Earnestly. The opportunity and privilege of prayer is not something to be taken lightly. We don't pray simply as a religious exercise. We pray as one who is presenting their request to God. And it's not an exercise. If you really want something, sometimes the way you ask something for somebody, it's done with earnestness. I know my kids, when they really want something, there'll be a different way that they ask. You know, they ask for a piece of bread at the dinner table. You know, that's just a simple request. But if they really want to go do something, hey, Dad, can we do this? It's because it's done with earnestness. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking, but not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask them. So it's not a vain repetition. It is something that is done in a way that you earnestly desire for God to answer your prayers. What we're really looking for is God's will. God, give us wisdom. Show us those great and mighty things you have planned, those things we don't know and those things that we don't understand. Next thing is pray with a plan. Say, plan, you just said no vain repetitions. Well, Jesus himself taught us a model prayer. He taught us different key important parts that every prayer should consist of. Now, when we're praying without ceasing and throughout the day, we're not going to start every request, Our Father, which are in heaven. We're not going to take time to do all those different things, but there should be a time where we ask God and show God these special needs. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, he teaches those things and he gives us an example here. Many times people would call this the Lord's Prayer. I like calling it the model prayer because Jesus didn't pray this prayer. He taught them to pray this prayer. These verses are not given so we can repeat them every day of our lives, but they are given so we know what to pray for. Our Father, which art in heaven. And, you know, we can pray in confidence of our relationship with our Father. We remind them that it's a Father that's there who loves us and cares for us. Hallowed be thy name. Worship God in your prayer time. This should be a place of worship. Thy kingdom come. Pray wanting God's kingdom to be advanced. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray with submission to God's will. You know, we know that it's God that is going to, that we said his will is and his plan is. Give us this day our daily bread. Ask God to meet your needs and the needs of others. We can ask him to meet the needs, our needs, and we should ask him for even the minimum things and daily. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Don't harbor bitterness or unforgiveness in your hearts. Next thing, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Ask God to help you overcome your temptation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pray with a heart for God's glory to be advanced. So there's that's a wonderful prayer. You can take time. There's lots of different ways to look at that prayer, but it breaks it down there to help you understand. Some people have found the following acrostic with the word ACTS helpful to guide them in their prayer time. A stands for adoration. Praise God for who he is. Tell him how thankful you are for his goodness to you. You know, it should be a time of worship. C stands for confession. Ask God to bring to mind any sins you have not already confessed to him and ask him to forgive you. T stands for thanksgiving. We should be thankful for things. Supplication. S stands for supplication. We should bring our requests made known before God. So we went through that a little quickly because we want to get done here the last few pages. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is fellowship with God. Your next blank is relationship. Yeah, same thing. When you have a communication, you have a relationship with someone. Sometimes that relationship is hindered. Sometimes that relationship is broken because of something that was said or done. Prayer is not simply a method of transaction of asking and getting. It's not like going to the bank and asking for a loan. It's part of our needful communication with God because communication is part of a relationship. it is vital that we keep that relationship right. If you have a relationship with your husband or wife or someone that's close to you and you never talk with them, that's not going to grow. Beware of the hindrances. The next blank is hindrances. So on page 105 is hindrances. That last blank on 104 was relationship. Beware of hindrances to prayer. And this is important. This is what's going to stop you from praying and stop you from having that fellowship with God. The next blank is unconfessed sin hinders our prayers. Unconfessed sin hinders our prayers. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Teaching them that, hey, look, if you know there's things that are wrong in your life, and if you do not pray to God and speak, if you want to pray to God and get a hold of God and have this relationship, you must have your heart right. You must have your life right. Isaiah 59, 1 through 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Tell them that. Tell them, explain to them that if we have sin in our lives that we love more than God and that we don't want to get right with God, then he's not going to hear our prayers. Unforgiveness hinders our prayers. Unforgiveness. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It's important to understand that how our relationships and how we live our lives can hinder our prayers. Next thing is disregard for God's word hinders our prayers. Disregard for God's word hinders our prayers. So that next blank is disregard. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. If we're not going to pray according to God's will or according to God's word, he says it's an abomination to him. And that's not a good thing. Next thing, restore fellowship through prayer. You say, well, I'm struggling with this and I'm messing up here. Then you can tell them this wonderful truth. Yes, we sin. Yes, our fellowship is broken at times. Our relationship is still there. We learned about that in the salvation lesson. But our fellowship can be restored, and provide that wonderful verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We simply confess our sin to the Lord and ask him to forgive us. Thankfully, God is faithful to always forgive us when we do. So we come to the end of this lesson, and there's application here. There's an application here. And there's point one and two. The first blank is plan a regular prayer time. And I like how this is portrayed. To pray with consistency requires a plan. Set aside a time of day if you like for like you would for an important appointment. When you can pray for specific requests to the Lord, begin with a small amount of time, perhaps 5 or 10 minutes, and increase it as you find your need to pray increasing. So once again, this is a new Christian. I underline like you would for an important appointment. I like that part. And you say, why? Well, there are some people that would not be late for an appointment. There are some people who are, you got to be here on time. If you're here a couple of minutes late, Miss Martha is like that. She gives me a hard time if I'm a minute or two, late when it's visitation. Hey, Pastor, we've been here for a minute, and she shows up 5 minutes early for everything, and that's great. I think it's a wonderful character trait. I wish I had that character trait. I do my best to be on time. But if you schedule something and you say, well, you know what? I can't miss this. I have a scheduled appointment. If we do that with our prayer time, it would change. Change the way we live and operate. Now, I know sometimes if we get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray, and some reason you got to be somewhere else at 5 o'clock, you have to adjust certain times. I understand that. But if you schedule it like it's an important time, like if you have a doctor's appointment or if you have this or not, if you schedule your prayer time like that, guess what? You're going to pray. If you don't, it's going to be a hit or miss. If I have time, I will. Well, if I have time usually turns into I don't have time. Next thing is my daily prayer time. They're saying, hey, write down a prayer time here. And, write down your time and what you plan on praying. And then next week, you're going to ask them that question. How'd you do? You said your prayer time was going to be 7 o'clock every morning. How'd you do? You say, you're praying. You're trying to help somebody. You're trying to disciple somebody. You're trying to encourage him. Prayer is really important. Begin a prayer list. Another important key. My prayer list I keep private. But there are certain things I will tell somebody while I'm trying to help them with prayer lists. I start my prayer list off with prayer promises, the things that God has promised me in his word, like this one up here. And because when I'm praying those promises, I know that God is going to be faithful. Next thing I do, I have a time of praise and the things I'm thankful for. Then I get to the spot where there's unconfessed sin. Now, if I know there's unconfessed sin in my life, I go over that first. But next time I go to God and I say, Lord, I think I'm right with you. Can you bring the light if there's something that I'm struggling with, something I've forgotten? Lord, help me understand if there's a way I'm disappointing you. And then I begin to ask things for the things I need in my life, like wisdom and patience, and pray for being the right pastor, the right husband, the right father. You know, then I begin a prayer list for myself. I want to live according to your will, Lord. Help me out with these things. God, I need your help. And then I go over a list for my wife, and I go over a list for both my sons. And then I get to a spot where I pray for things specific to the church, and then I pray specifically for people in the church, and I pray specifically for different people that God's laid upon my heart, different pastors and missionaries. Do I go over the whole list every day? No, I don't. I don't want to say I don't have time, but I that's something I break up, and I have certain things I pray for. And then I go for specific special needs that people have asked me to pray for. There are certain things I have on a list that have lasted for a few years sometimes. God, I struggle with this. I need help with this relationship. But it's great to go back and see that God's answered those prayers. You see, the best way to remember the important requests in your life and the lives of those you love is to write down a list of whom and what you are praying for. This can be as simple as a handwritten list in a notebook, or it can be typed in an electronic program, or whatever way you create your list. Be sure to leave room by each request to record when God answered those prayers. And it's neat to go back over your prayer list and see, you know, what I was praying for this, and God answered that. You know, this might seem silly, this might seem stupid, but it's something I asked God for, and God answered that prayer. What does that do? That builds your faith. It shows you that prayer works. So, next things, you got your assignment that is there. You know, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You may know that verse already. Praise the Lord. Write it out there, but show that. And that way, when you get a chance to disciple somebody, you'll be able to remind them of that request. If you know that one, go back over those last four that we've already supposed to memorize and make sure you know them. Some of them were not as familiar to me. Then you have your five daily devotions. You know, once again, be reading through these. So that way you can tell the person, if you get a chance to disciple somebody with this material, I read these devotions. These devotions helped me. These are things I went through with you. And even say, I'll go through them again with you this time, so that way you can be ready to do that with them. Now, there is blanks at the bottom. Someone asked what those blanks are for. I think it could be something that you just write things that you learned, things that you were encouraged by. One person suggested you write out your verse every day. You write out your verse every day. By Friday, most people would have that verse. And then at the end, verse day number five, fill out these questions. So that way you can show them, hey, when I went through this, this is my answers to these questions. So you can show them, this is something I went through, this is something I enjoyed, this is something I grew from, and I want to help you do the same. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer.